As it prepares to depart, the United States wants to make sure Afghanistan's economy has a fighting chance. The Defense Department and the U.S. Geological Survey have teamed up to provide Afghanistan investors with maps showing where extraction wealth might be located. For more on this program, we turn to the head of the Mineral Resources Program at USGS, Larry Meinert. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tom. Glad to be here.
All right. So tell us exactly what you have done in Afghanistan. How long has this taken, and what was the output here?
This was a long collaborative project with the Department of Defense, the Task Force for Business and Stability Operations, and the Afghan government. And it had several components to it, but the most visible one is that we flew the vast bulk of the country with very high-level planes to do what's called a hyperspectral survey. And this allows us to see the actual minerals that are on the ground and identify them. And that led to a series of maps, which we recently rolled out at the Afghan embassy here in Washington, D.C.
So were these physical maps that you handed them, or was this a digital product?
Both. We both gave them all the digital information, and it's a huge amount of information. For those who like big numbers, it's more than 800 million data pixels of information, and this was handed over on CDs, and also the physical maps that we generated from these at a variety of scales that allow you to visualize exactly what's going on the ground in the country. So you can see things like different rock units. You can see faults for mapping seismic hazards. You can see agricultural zones. They can be used for siting roads and construction projects, water resources. There's just a wealth of information.
So it's safe to say, I guess, that this is something that Afghanistan itself could never accomplish on its own.
True. This is the first time this has ever been done in the world. So we have some fairly advanced technology. We have a lot of state-of-the-art science being done here. And probably the most important thing for the United States is that we developed all this technology for application in Afghanistan so we can bring it home and use it in the United States. And we currently have projects in the United States, particularly in Alaska, where we're using this exact same technology that we developed there.
All right, I want to get back to that, but first tell us, how was this program structured? I mean, was this DOD's idea and they brought in USGS, and which side brought which to the whole project?
Well, this is a long-term relationship that we've had with the Afghan government. We've done work there over a period of years, and there were a variety of funding agencies, including USAID and the Department of Defense. And the USGS came up with the idea in the first place to do this, but again, there's been lots of partners supporting it along the way.
So this technology, spectral photography or spectral analysis, so what happens? The plane flies over and there's a camera. But it sounds like a pretty special camera.
It's quite special. What it's actually doing is recording different wavelengths of light. Technically, they're called spectra. And different minerals or vegetation reflect light in different wavelengths. And so this instrument is sensing all those different wavelengths, and then we can go in and look at those to identify what's actually being seen there. It's somewhat like a camera that's recording light bouncing off the ground, but it's recording it in different wavelengths. So instead of just seeing a color picture, you've probably seen things like color infrared that gives you different colors altogether, or thermal mapping images that can show you something based upon its heat content. So we're looking at all the different spectra that allow us to identify things, and we've developed a spectral library that we use then to calibrate these data points that we get from the ground so we can interpret them.
And what kind of aircraft was it? Was it manned or unmanned?
It was manned. It's technically called a WB-57. It's a high-altitude research jet that's operated by NASA and the cooperative program that we do with them. And they flew it at about 50,000 feet high above the ground, and it was able to cover the country relatively quickly at that altitude.
And so I guess there's the assumption then that what you can see with the light waves coming from the ground indicates what's underneath there.
Yes, it's looking at the surface of the ground, but it's allowing us to identify what's there. So, for example, if there's vegetation, that would reflect light differently. If there are minerals of typical soil, we'd be able to see that. Different rock types would give us different signatures. So we can actually get some very detailed information about what's on the ground. It's not really looking deep into the ground. It's really the surficial material. But for a country like Afghanistan that doesn't have a lot of vegetative cover, it allows us to map fairly accurately very large areas.
And what do they hope to do with the maps once, now that they have possession of them? What will the Afghanistan government do with this information?
Well, they're really useful for a variety of purposes. As I mentioned, you can map out agricultural areas. You can look at water resources, where we can identify faults in the ground. That allows us to do seismic information, so we can identify seismic hazards. And certainly the identification of certain deposits, like we were able to identify areas that have potential for gold mineralization, areas that have potential for rare earth element mineralization. And overall, this is for economic development of natural resources, as well as the potential to identify water resources, biological and agricultural conditions. So just a wealth of things you can do with this information.
So in other words, for them, it tells people where to start digging in case they want to, you know, for the purposes of economic development.
Absolutely. And I suspect there's a lot of international interest in that to help the Afghans develop those resources.
We're speaking with Larry Meinert. He's Mineral Resources Program Coordinator at the U.S. Geological Survey. And so you mentioned that there's some science that was developed for this program. What is new here in terms of science that USGS was able to develop?
Well, one of the most important things is this spectral library. This is the matching of different minerals, different rock types, and what the light reflecting from them would be like. We also developed a lot of what's called GIS technology that allows us to take all this huge amount of information and put it into usable maps. So there's a lot of sort of behind-the-scenes science that allows us to do this. And we've also developed new algorithms to process the data. So this camera-like thing that the airplane is flying is producing a huge amount of data, and then that data needs to be processed. It's sort of like the camera developing a picture, and so you're processing this into a map, and that's not that straightforward, and for a lot of these applications, it's the very first time it's been done, so that's where the science comes in.
So it sounds like something for a supercomputer, the way you describe it.
There's a lot of computers used in this, and you're manipulating a lot of data, but I don't want to de-emphasize the importance of the human mind in doing this. We have some really talented scientists who have been able to develop new techniques, and the computers help us do it quicker and handle huge amounts of data, but it really is the people that makes this happen.
And so I imagine those people have learned some things that we might not have known, like light coming off a certain type of rock formation that you might have not looked twice at before. Maybe now is telling you something about what might be underneath there. Any examples of that?
Yes, and you're absolutely correct. We've learned some things about identifying various minerals. Some of this gets fairly technical, but there's two minerals in particular that are associated with certain types of gold deposits. One's called allunite, one's called pyrophyllite, and these have very distinct spectral signatures. And so we were able to identify areas on the ground that have these minerals without actually walking on the ground. And for people who are involved in exploration and developing of resources, we're able to basically make a one-to-one correlation. We see those minerals. We know there's a very good potential for gold mineralization. And again, we're going to take this technology and this understanding and start applying it in the United States. And we currently have a project in Alaska that's planned for later this spring when we will be flying parts of Alaska. And so we hope to use the same technology to discover resources there.
Now, this creates the question, I suppose, of if you come up with that information and say a gold deposit or something very valuable is discovered, how do you release that information in a way that somebody can't jump on it before the next person? It's almost like releasing economic data that could affect a market.
Well, everything we do is public information, and it's all released at the same time, usually through our website, so everybody has access to it at the same time. And we're not actually identifying deposits. What we're doing is identifying geologic conditions that allow people to make their own interpretations of what might be there. But you're absolutely correct. This has potential for direct economic application. And we are public servants. We are doing science for the interest of the nation. So when we put this information out, everybody has access to it, and we wish them the best.
So these algorithms then could be adopted by private interests, say, you know, extraction companies, to help their efficiency. They could probably afford their own plane once they have the algorithms. It's something that anyone could apply.
That's true, although the devil always is in the details. But we've developed these algorithms, and again, everything we do is public information. And so we put all of our science out there for other people to use. Some of this, as you can imagine, is quite technical, so it would take a fair bit of training to be able to use it with any great detail. But we try to work with everybody that we can to help move the nation's interest forward. And that Spectral Library in particular is public information, so anybody can go in there and use it. And a lot of people do.
All right, fascinating. Just one final question. Would you do a flyover of my backyard, and maybe there's something underneath there?
Oh, I'd be happy to do that. Would you like to tell me what sort of plants you're growing back there that you might have particular interest in?
I sure will. We'll get you offline and let you know everything that's growing back there. Larry Meinert is the head of the Mineral Resources Program at the U.S. Geological Survey. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.